Good morning, everyone. I'll be reading from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
I read about a lady by the name of Mary McLaurin. She has an unusual condition, which is called developmental topographical disorientation. The short version of that is DTD. This means that she cannot form a mental map or image of her surroundings. She has no internal compass. And this is how she described the experience of this particular disease when she was visiting a friend. She said, I was staying at a friend's house and decided to take their dog for a walk. As I started back, I had no idea where I was. I was only a few blocks from where I'd started my walk, but I was lost. Fear and adrenaline pulsed through my veins, and I began to sweat profusely. My surroundings looked completely unfamiliar. It was as though I had been dropped in the middle of a foreign land. I hadn't written down the address of the home where I was staying. Walking in any direction would be just a guess. Am I getting closer or farther away? Would I have to knock on someone's door to use their phone to call the police? How could I expect them to return me to a place if I had no address to provide? Fortunately, Mary found someone to guide her back to that house. Here's something about DTD. With this particular dilemma, there is no brain injury, there is no car accident, no tumor, no stroke, nothing physical in terms of the human condition. They get lost every day in the most familiar of surroundings. Those of us who struggle, Mary says, with this disorder are often left with feelings of anxiety, depression, isolation, and self-doubt. There's sometimes I wonder if I have this. Maybe you do too. But we're thinking spiritually today as we read from the book of Micah. A lot of the world suffers in similar ways. Spiritually speaking, people get lost and cannot find their way. What they need is guidance. And that's what the Bible is telling us that we receive from the Messiah. The Messiah is not just a ruler. The Messiah is a shepherd. The shepherd comes to give us guidance. So in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. And so it's saying that God is strong. It's referring to his strength. The Hebrew word for strength here is be'oz, and it means fortress, it means power, it means stronghold. So if you're in the flock of God, you're protected by a strong fortress. You're safe from the enemy. This is a very important thought, and many of you don't consider it or reflect on it from day to day. But you know there is an enemy. There is evil in the world. And one of the things that you think about when you read the Gospels is how Jesus countered that enemy over and over and over again. You know, people will sometimes ask for identification from you and from me because they aren't sure that we are who we say we are. And you know, people should be equally concerned about when they receive guidance from other people. They should make sure they've got proper identification from the one who's giving it. And that's why Jesus says in John chapter 10, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. Do you get the power by which Jesus is talking here? He's saying that other people have tried to guide you, but they are thieves and they are robbers. Jesus goes on to say, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, what Jesus Christ wants for you as you go through this world, as you go through your life, is for you to have an abundant life. And he is the good shepherd. He is watching out for your needs. But the devil is not. He's evil. He's trying to harm you. It was A.W. Tozer who once said, "The only safe place for a sheep is by the side of his shepherd, because the devil does not fear sheep." No, he just fears the shepherd. You know, the devil is afraid of Jesus. And so the closer you get to Jesus Christ, the safer you will be. Jesus goes on in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel in the 11th verse to describe himself. And he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So he is a sacrificing shepherd. He's putting himself in a place where he can save and rescue you and me. He laid down his life for us because of our many sins. It was the prophet Isaiah who declared in chapter 53 and verse 6, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The word "all" there is so very important. It's a huge idea. In Romans 3:23, we read, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So that includes everyone in this room. We all have iniquity that God needs to take away from us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way. The Lord has laid on him, on the cross, the iniquity of us all. That's our shepherd. Until we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a couple of big problems. One is our fallen state. You know, it says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we're either heading to death or we're heading to life. It depends on whether or not we've given our lives to the shepherd and we're following Jesus Christ. The other problem is that we're wandering away from the path that God wants us to follow. Right? Some people are destroying their lives. Even some Christians are, by the inappropriate choices they're making. People are going astray, and what they need is a shepherd. I sometimes get negative feedback when I quote Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. What does Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 say? It says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." And some people feel like they have a constitutional right to complain and argue, which overrides the Bible. So I'm not going to quote Philippians today. You did not hear that from me. But I will say this. If we're sheep and we're following the shepherd, we should follow everything that he says in the Word of God, not just the parts of the Bible that we like. We should follow everything, right down to the last detail. And you know, what God is saying to you and to me this day by saying that he is our shepherd is that he is motivated to care for us and to lead us because of his deep love for you and for me. Today we lit the candle of love. Remember that the shepherd loves you. The shepherd loves you. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talks about the relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. And these are some of the most important words that Jesus ever spoke to you and to me. He said, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. And then we come to that 14th verse of Matthew chapter 18. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. That's how God feels about you. He doesn't want you to think that you're less important than someone else. He's not willing for anyone to be lost. There was a young lady by the name of Martha Taft who was in attendance at one of our Cincinnati schools. And she was asked to introduce herself one day in school. And so she stood up and she said, "I am Martha Bowers Taft. My great-grandfather was the President of the United States. My grandfather was a United States Senator. My daddy is Ambassador to Ireland. And I am a brownie." Whether you're a brownie or a senator or an ambassador or the President of the United States, it doesn't matter what you do. You are loved by God. You are important to God. God is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Who are the little ones? You and me. We're the little ones. We're the sheep. And he's the shepherd. And you know, when you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus gets criticized a lot. And one of the biggest criticisms of Jesus Christ in the Gospels was his tendency to connect with tax collectors and sinners. After the tax collector Zacchaeus repented of his sins, what was it that Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10? He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." I thought the Son of Man came to teach. I thought the Son of Man came to heal. Jesus makes it very clear in Luke 19, verse 10. "I'm a shepherd, and I've come to search for lost people." People like Zacchaeus. And you know, Jesus had this feeling when he was with individuals, but also when he was with the crowds. He operated from a motive of compassionate love as a shepherd. We read in Matthew 9, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." It's a beautiful thought. What motivated Jesus to do what he did was compassionate love. Now, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read that it was the little town of Bethlehem, the place that would be where the Messiah would come from. When we read the second chapter of Luke's gospel, we discover an angel speaking with shepherds about the birth of a Savior. It's one of the most majestic passages of the Bible. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Who better than shepherds to first receive the news about the Messiah shepherd who had been promised by Micah? They would visit the manger and then spread the news to everyone in Bethlehem. A question for us to consider today is, do we have the same compassion that the Lord does? Are we looking for lost sheep? You see, once in a flock, everything changes for you. So it was about the flock that Micah prophesied in verse 4 of Micah 5. "They will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." What was Micah saying to the people of Israel in that verse? He was saying that the Messiah is not just coming for Israel. He's going to be for the entire world. Every nation in this world. So that's why every Sunday morning when we pray for missionaries. We pray for God's word to go out into the whole world, to be reminded that this child who was born in Bethlehem came to change the entire world. I read recently about an airman who was shot down over a South Sea island during World War II. When he got onto this island, he was badly injured. He was delirious. He was sick. But he remembered one thing about this island that he had studied. It was filled with cannibals. And so he tried to hide himself, but he wasn't able to. And so he was found by islanders. And what did the islanders do? They nursed him back to health. They helped him to get well. And then he began to talk with the islanders that he thought were cannibals. And then he found out that on this island there was no jail, there was no poverty, there was no divorce, there was no crime, there was virtually no disease or sickness. They had one doctor in the entire island, and they said, the doctor is usually fishing. He said, how can this be? I thought this island was filled with cannibals. And the men said to this United States airman, your ancestors sent missionaries to our island, and they told us about Jesus Christ. And we accepted him as our Savior and Lord, and we live for him now. And that's the difference when you think about how the Messiah has come for the whole world. Every island, every nation, every place, every tongue, Jesus Christ has come for the whole world, not just for you and me, but for us all, so that we might have peace. And so it says in Micah 5, verse 5, and he will be their peace. The word for peace is shalom. It appears 237 times in the Old Testament. It means completeness, soundness, welfare. So it's not just describing the absence of conflict, but the way you feel about where you're going in your life. Is he your shepherd? Are you following him? Then what you'll have is peace. You won't be worried that you're going to fall off a cliff somewhere because Jesus would never take you there. No, he's leading you. So one of the most important questions that we can ask this day is, as believers or as non-believers, is, am I following Jesus? Following Jesus, our shepherd, is how we receive peace. You know what the name Micah means? It means, who is like the Lord? And the answer to that question is, no one. No one is like the Lord. No one can shepherd you like Jesus Christ. But Micah was totally connected to the Lord. He knew the Lord's will. He knew the Lord's way. He wrote over 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And the biggest problem that was going on when Micah was writing were the Assyrians. The Assyrians. The Assyrians had come to Jerusalem as an army and surrounded it. And Hezekiah was the king. And Hezekiah went to the temple. And Hezekiah prayed. He prayed and prayed and prayed to the Lord. And that night, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died. When Sennacherib, their general, woke up that morning and saw all the dead, he decided that it wasn't in his best interest to attack Jerusalem. And so he packed everything up and headed back to Assyria. You see, God brought peace to Jerusalem, and God intends to bring peace to you and to me. And so what the Bible says is that we should pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what 9 of the most memorable words in the Bible are? They're found in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so because he's our shepherd, we're secure. All our needs are met, and we may have peace. He came into this world as an infant, but then he became the shepherd of the whole world. What a gift God has given to us, our shepherd. Father, we thank you for being our shepherd. We thank you for leading us and guiding us. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for this prophecy of the Messiah, that he will be our shepherd. And we know that if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Bless us, we pray, at this time of the year, to remember the baby born in Bethlehem is leading us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our concluding hymn is number 137, entitled, What Child Is This? We invite you to stand, and if you have a need for prayer, please come forward. A deacon or deaconess will pray with you.